I wanted to take just a few minutes here tonight. We're not quite done yet. We have one or two more pieces for you, but I wanted to just take a minute to basically to try to help us understand and not miss the message behind this program. I don't know if you were paying attention to those children. The second half of their play, they were acting out Luke chapter 2. And what they were talking about was the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, that Jesus Christ came into this world. And I want to talk about that for just a minute or two and really basically talk about what is Christmas really all about. Christmas season sometimes is one of those, I suppose, that's loved by many and hated by just as many. There are times, I'm going to admit it, there are times in my life when Christmas really seems to be overwhelming and burdensome with all of the church responsibilities and family and parties and all these things. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can lose sight of what Christmas is really all about. And in our world today, especially, you know, Christmas has become commercialized. There's a lot of greed that goes on with it. You know, businesses make a lot of money, and Christmas becomes about something other than what it should be. Many other times, Christmas is a time for just parties. And Christmas is a time for family get-togethers and so on. And I would say I love family get-togethers. There's a lot of family traditions that we have, that are a part of our family, that make up our family, that really we wouldn't be the same without those family traditions around Christmas time. But what I'm saying is that if we're not careful, Christmas becomes about Santa Claus and about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and most of the time, that's really what kids only know about Christmas. You know, we're trying to teach our children the real meaning for Christmas. And you see our kids up here who are acting out and describing what the Bible gives us as the meaning and the reason for Christmas. And I thank God for the Bible, because God gives us in no uncertain terms what Christmas is really all about. And that's what we try to focus on. And I want to read Luke chapter 2. I won't read the whole thing. Every Christmas when I was a child, and we still continue this today with my own family, my dad would sit us down and read Luke chapter 2, read the Christmas story. Before we ever opened presents, before we ever got to all the food, my dad would always sit our family down and we would read the Christmas story together. And we still do that in my own family today. And Luke chapter 2 is one of my favorites. I'm going to read for you a few verses. The children were actually quoting some of these verses. But I'm going to start in verse 7 and read for you these words. Then said he to, excuse me, I need to get over Luke chapter 2, not Luke chapter 3. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. These few verses right here actually give for us the real meaning of Christmas and what Christmas is all about. And verse 11 says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that tells us something about what Christmas is. Christmas is about giving. Not about receiving, but about giving. And verse 11 says that the message of the angel was to these shepherds that unto you, here, for you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Why is Christmas a time of giving? Because first of all, it was a time for God to give His Son to mortal men. When those shepherds heard the words of the angel, they were told that a Savior was coming into this world. This child that was to be born in Bethlehem was no ordinary baby, though. Jesus, when He came into this world, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, listen, He was literally God in human flesh. in John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, now note this connection here as I read these verses, all right? John chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says this, "In the beginning was the Word." That's a capital W, it's a name. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the connection is that the Word is God, right? We get down to verse 14 of this chapter, and the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh." Who is the Word? The Word was God. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What this is telling us is that Jesus is God. Jesus was made flesh. Jesus dwelt among men. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, He was literally God in the flesh. All through His life, Jesus proved over and over and over again that He was God. He taught, He healed, He did miracles, He preached, He loved like no other person ever did. His life was one miraculous event after another. But let me tell you this, just because Jesus came into this world, and just because He did miracles, and just because He loved and taught like no other, that was not enough to set us free from our sins. God in the flesh, who came in the form of a baby, listen, His life was here for one purpose, to die on a cross to pay for the sin of the whole world. That same God, Jesus in the flesh, had to lay down His life. And that's the reason why He came. This is the reason we celebrate Christmas. It's great to celebrate the birth of Christ, Him coming into this world. But the reason He came, He was born to die, the Bible says. When John 3:16, most of you probably know that verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When the Bible says that God gave His only begotten Son, it literally means that He gave Jesus to die on a cross. He gave Him up to die on a cross for you and for me, so that our sin debt could be paid, so that we might have the opportunity for forgiveness of sins, so that we might have the opportunity, when this life is over, to see heaven. The major scene was only the first stop on a road that would end on an old rugged cross. That's the reason we celebrate Christmas. That's what Christmas is really all about, that a Savior came into this world. God gave His Son to men. Christmas is a time of giving. God gave His Son to men. But secondly and lastly, it's also a time of giving because it's a time for men to give their soul to God. God gave His Son to die for sinners. And listen, it's also a time for men to give their soul to God. But if you could give God anything, if you could give a gift to the Lord, what would it be? When you think about it, what really does God need that we have to offer? I mean, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our possessions. And when you get right down to it, none of us really possess anything at all of value to God except for one thing, and that's your soul. Your soul is an eternal thing. You were created in the image of God. God gave you a body, a soul, and a spirit. God is a three-part being: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're created in the image of God according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God made you in three parts: a body, a soul, and a spirit. Your body is temporal. It's going to pass away. We're all going to die. Everybody knows that. But your soul and your spirit are eternal. Those two things are inseparable. Those two things will live on for eternity. Your soul is the real you. It's who you really are. It's your personality. It's what makes you up. Your spirit is your God conscious. The fact that you know intrinsically and in your heart that there's a God, and your ability to worship Him and to commune with Him comes from that spirit that God gave you. Your soul and your spirit live on forever. And the only thing that you and I have, that we possess, that is of any value to God, is our soul. That is eternal. It's the most valuable thing that you possess, and it's exactly the thing that God wants. There's nothing that is more valuable than your soul. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, let me read these verses for you here. In Mark chapter 8, in verse 36, the Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In other words, he said, what gain is it? What profit is it? You have a short life, 70, 75, 80, 85 years. You know what? You could gain the entire wealth of the whole world. But what profit is that if at the end of your life you lose your soul? Verse 37 says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In other words, that the soul is more valuable than anything in this world. What does this world have, and what could you possibly gain that is of more value than your soul, that you would exchange it for your soul? There's nothing. You've heard the phrase, "He sold his soul to the devil," right? Maybe some rock star, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember, maybe it was Rolling Stones, I'm not even sure, the lead singer for the Rolling Stones. One of those said that he made a deal with the devil and sold his soul to the devil for some fame, for some wealth, for some fortune. You know what? And selling your soul is a bad, bad bargain because there's nothing more valuable than it. But your soul is the very thing that God wants. Now the question arises, have you given your heart to the Lord? Has your soul been redeemed? If not, there's no better time than today to make that happen. How do you give your soul to God? Well, the Bible says that in order for us to be saved, in order to be forgiven of our sins, in order to be born again, the Bible says that it's repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ that is the means or the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness. Repentance means to change your mind. Change your mind about what? Well, change your mind about religion. Change your mind about, you know, the thing that you're trusting to get you to heaven. There's a whole lot of religion out there. And people say, well, you know, we all have the same God and we're all going to the same place. You have your way and I have my way. But, you know, we're all going to the same place. But my friend, the Word of God tells us very specifically that that is not true. The Word of God tells us very specifically that the only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for our sin on the cross. We can't get to heaven through good works. We can't get to heaven by being a good church member. We can't get to heaven through sacraments and through baptisms and all of those things. None of those things can save. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can. And the Bible tells us very specifically that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came into this world so that he could go to an old rugged cross, that he could shed his sinless, spotless blood for my soul, the most valuable thing that I have. Repentance is changing your mind about what you're trusting to get you to heaven. It's changing your mind about who you are and who I am. We're not good people. Well, we might do some good things. We might be kind to some people. But inherently in our soul, we're sinful. And the Bible says that there's none righteous that do it. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. We're all sinners. We've broken God's law. And for that, we need to be forgiven. And that's why Jesus came into this world. And God says it's repentance towards God. It's understanding that God is holy. I'm sinful. It's understanding that God is perfect and righteous, and I've broken His law, and I deserve judgment because of my sin. But I don't want God's judgment. And He sent Jesus to die in my place, to take my place, to pay for my sin. And it's repentance. God, I'm sorry for who I am and what I've done. And I believe that Jesus Christ paid for my sin. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I put my trust in Him as my only hope of salvation and forgiveness. And when we do that, when we understand that we're sinners, And in humility, we repent and ask God for his forgiveness, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for my sin. That is how we give our soul to God. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? Have you been forgiven? What are you trusting to get you to heaven? I'm glad that we have the Bible. God tells us exactly what Christmas is all about. That he gave his son to mortal men. And that we need to give our soul to God. Are you saved? That's really what the message behind this program is. The reason why we give it. That's really what Christmas is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take these few words and these few moments. Father, penetrate our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the souls of men, if there be some among us today who've never been truly saved, they're not born again, they've never repented of their sin, trusted in Christ, maybe they're trusting in something else to get them to heaven. Help them to see that if they will ever see heaven, they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Thank you for the time we've had. And as we close this Christmas program, Lord, I pray that you'd bless and have your will.